It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Hey, dads, how are you doing? What do you need to bring you closer to your kids? This is what the Wisconsin Statewide Fatherhood Needs Assessment probes, essentially, and we explore its findings alongside your questions. Call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Margaret Kerr is an assistant professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies and at UW-Madison and state specialist with Division of Extension, lead author of this report that takes the pulse on fatherhood in Wisconsin. Margaret, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you surveyed more than 30 fathers around Wisconsin on what they define as successful fatherhood. What values do Wisconsin fathers embrace?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that we saw is that we had this theme come out that was about fathers want to be fathers. So just the thing that stands out the most to me is that they really wanted to be involved in their kids' lives. They expressed the desire to be involved in the day-to-day and to be role models for their kids.
When you hear that, fathers want to be fathers, can you go into that more? What does that mean? And when you hear it again and again, what does it say about its importance?
Yeah, so I think there's this common misconception that fathers don't want to be actively involved with their kids, that they're more financial providers and that, you know, being involved in the day-to-day is not that important to them, particularly among fathers who don't have primary custody of their kids. And that's just not what we saw here. So they talked about how much they wanted more time with their kids and they wanted that time to be valuable and they wanted to be, you know, teaching them life lessons and being role models for them and helping them with their homework and brushing their teeth and doing all of that day-to-day parenting work.
So the fathers say that active involvement in their child's life is a key to feeling successful as a dad. And you just mentioned, you know, brushing teeth. What forms does active involvement take? How does that come to fruition?
Yeah, I think it can mean a lot of different things. And I think it means something different for everyone and all families are different. But I think it means things like getting to spend quality time with them. Actually, we had dads that talked about wanting to go camping and fishing and bicycling. And we had other fathers talk about the importance of helping their kids decide where to go to college and how to navigate those systems and just spending time with them, but also kind of instilling values in them and helping raise who they're going to be.
I wonder about the generational differences you might have picked up on. Like, does this attitude of wanting to be involved and showing love and being there, does that differ from how fathers have historically felt about expressing love to their children?
Yeah, so I guess I can't speak about how other generations and how they felt. But what we saw was that they were less involved just because of how the world was. Dads were the financial providers and, you know, for many generations, and women typically stayed home in families with one mother and one father. And so I think that's what we often saw. And then I think there's also this expectation that fathers, and we saw this a lot in our report, can't talk about how they feel or can't express love in those days, that they're kind of the tough love kind of person and that they can't show emotion. And so I do think there's differences in the expectations around what they can do, but we still see with our fathers now this expectation that they shouldn't show emotion. And so I think it was really nice to see these fathers telling us how much they wanted to be involved and how much they wanted to express love to their kids when there's a lot of, I think, stigma or gender norms that prevent dads from feeling like they can really do that.
I wonder, did they give any indication, you know, speaking of stigma, did they give any indication whether today's fathers have things harder or easier on them than their own dads.
No, you know, they didn't really talk about that, but they did talk about the ways that it was different. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them talked about the lack of having role models in their own lives for various reasons. So not feeling like they had that father or male role model, and that feeling like a gap for them in knowing how to show up for their own kids.
UW-Madison's Margaret Kerr studies emotional experiences in the context of parenthood as an assistant professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies. Share your experiences throughout the discussion. Call in with questions about fatherhood, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. UW-Madison's Division of Extension discovers they were not serving fathers through their programs at anywhere near the same extent that they had been serving mothers. We explore their Wisconsin Fatherhood Assessment. Call in with questions along the way at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Margaret Kerr is an assistant professor in UW-Madison's Department of Human Development and Family Studies and the report's lead author. Margaret, turning to workforce, the community partners your team interviewed say some fathers are unable to be involved in their child's life because of the interference of work. What role does the strain of work place on fatherhood?
Yes, great question. So many of them just talked about meeting financial needs for the family really getting in the way. And that might mean working long hours. It might mean working multiple jobs. We saw this a lot for fathers who don't have custody of their children and are paying child support. So they're really having to keep up with those child support payments, which means working more, which is actually can get in the way of having time to spend with their kids.
So what does that mean then when they are forced to have to, spend more time on the job and less time with the child? What are the repercussions?
Yeah, obviously it's important for them to, meet financial obligations, but I think it says a lot about kind of their access to good jobs, which is not my area of expertise. And I think that it means, when they can't be there. So earlier we talked about the importance of that active involvement. And when they're working so much that they can't be there for those things, then they don't have that sense of active involvement, which means that they don't feel like they're fulfilling that fatherhood role. And I think, it just leads to them feeling less close to their kids and being less part of their everyday.
If you can't be a part of that everyday, you're less likely to be able to show up as a role model, which is something that you really heard about. What do fathers feel like they need to teach their children?
Yeah, I think a lot of them talked about, instilling values. And so in many ways, they also talked about like instilling values of hard work. So, I think they do that through working and showing up and showing them that. But just I think a couple different things. Sorry, just thinking about what those things are. I think there was showing up for them, instilling values around like emotions and what it means to be a good person and moral values. And all of those things are those values that they see that it's important for them to teach their kids. What it means to be a good dad is really important for them because so many of them felt like they didn't have that for themselves.
Where do these fathers find social connections people they can talk with or who is in their network socially? What did you find there?
Yeah, this is my favorite part of the report, I think. What we found so strongly, and this came through both those like community partners that we interviewed, as well as the fathers, this need for social connections, which we know humans all need social connections. And I think there is a lot of space for mothers or those who identify as mothers to show up in social circles or places where other mothers gather. And dads talked about not feeling like those spaces existed for them and not knowing how to find other peer support around fatherhood. And that when they did show up in spaces or events, much like the reason for doing this report, when they did show up for events that were for parents, they're often all dominated by women. And so they don't feel like welcome in those spaces, or they're really centered around things that don't resonate with them, like maybe doing arts and crafts, which is not really the thing that they enjoy doing. And so they just don't feel like there's spaces for them.
That's interesting, too. I would imagine also showing up for a play date, moms traditionally maybe taking those kids on the play date, whereas dads, too, would like to be, you know, a force on the playground, although that is perhaps changing.
Yeah, I think a big part of this is like creating spaces for dads to come together and to share and to creating a space. I think the other thing, it comes back to what we talked about earlier on not feeling like you can talk about. It's very normal traditionally, I think, for, you know, women to get together and talk about what it feels like to be a parent. That's just something they've been doing for generations and generations. And that's not necessarily as well accepted for men. Like, what does it feel like to be a dad? Or I'm really struggling. And so I think really working on creating spaces where they can come together and talk about their feelings. And I think that that's something that we actually saw that they were really craving.
Margaret Kerr with us on the needs of fathers in Wisconsin, assistant professor in UW-Madison's Department of Human Development and Family Studies. You can join in at 800-642-1234. I'm going to read a line here. One father your team interviewed talked about how his father and grandfather were role models in his life, but since he became a parent, quote, I can see that they just had no tools. They had no knowledge, no education, no resources. Margaret, what resources are available now that weren't there decades ago?
Oh, goodness. I think there's so many resources. I think the age of the internet and science has changed a lot, and there's so much information out there about parenting. Sometimes maybe even too much that it's confusing, but I think there's a lot more access to those things. And for example, Extension provides parenting education for parents that they can show up and learn about specific things, or you can join webinars about what to do when my toddler's throwing a tantrum. And so I think there's those types of resources. There's also like mental health resources that I think did not used to be as available or welcome for people to do, and still aren't always. So those are some of those resources that are available.
The research also found that Division of Extension hasn't been serving fathers to the extent that it serves mothers. Do you anticipate this report will change anything that's offered through Extension?
Well, I sure hope so. But yes, I think this one thing that we found, just going back quickly to your comment about the social support, is that we did these focus groups, which means we had several fathers together and got their feedback together. And we actually saw them really engaging in this social support together during these focus groups. And so one of our next steps forward that I'm currently working on is creating some of these peer groups where fathers can get together with other fathers and talk about parenting and provide support and resources to each other. And that's, we've already started with some of that. We have a program now that we're calling Focus on Fathers that we get to get, you know, a group of fathers can get together. It's virtual and talk about supporting the social emotional skills of their kids. And we're working on extending that to other types of things as well.
It's interesting, too, that you offer it online because you then have to decide, you know, when and where you would meet and the time. And, you know, we just talked about the time commitment of work. There are so many competing challenges that are facing fathers.
Yeah, and I think one thing I wanted to mention earlier is that what we know from other research is that it's not as welcome for fathers to say, like, I need to get off work early because I need to pick up my kids. Like, that is just not something that fathers are or men are as sort of welcome to do in the workplace. And so it is a challenge. Even though this is changing and families all look really different and there are plenty of stay-at-home dads, like dads are often the one working and aren't able to attend parenting programming, which is often offered during the day or timed play groups, you know, mom meetup play groups that are offered during the day. And that's just not something that's available. So to people who are working. And so that doesn't just extend to men, but lots of people.
I just want to pause right there and reintroduce you, Margaret Kerr, Associate Professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies at UW-Madison. Call in at 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We discuss how fatherhood affects men and how to help these relationships deepen, enabling fathers to be more emotionally available. Join in throughout this fatherhood discussion. Call in with a question at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Margaret Kerr is an assistant professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies at UW-Madison. And Jessica Pearson joins us, founder of the Center for Policy Research and director of the National Fatherhood Research and Practice Network. Jessica, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much.
So the Fatherhood Research and Practice Network published a report on the policies and programs supporting fathers that goes state by state. What does this snapshot say about how fathers are supported around the country?
Well, we do examine policies in the 50 states and District of Columbia in a wide variety of areas: child support, criminal justice, employment, family law, and we try to establish a baseline of where policy is, and we see that there really isn't a whole lot of policy that directly affects fathers or that speaks to fathers, but they are affected by many, many state level policies, and that state policies can have a directly and indirectly encourage and discourage father involvement, and that states, a lot of things are determined at the federal level, but states have a lot of authority and resources to fund and access funding and use federal funding to create programs to support fathers and their children, particularly low-income fathers. So states' policy plays a big role.
Is there anything that stands out about Wisconsin compared to other states, particularly in the Midwest, in terms of these policies that support fathers?
Sure. Well, as with most states, it's a little bit of a mixed bag. Mm. Wisconsin is strong in some areas and not so strong in others. I'd say one area that they could improve in is the minimum wage. It stands at $7.25 per hour. That's the federal minimum. And Wisconsin is one of 20 states that's at that level. But there are 30 states in the District of Columbia that are higher at you know, up to $15.20 an hour. So that would be one area of improvement. It doesn't have legislatively authorized family leave. Nine states and DC have approved legislation for family leave, and 13 states have pending legislation. And by the way, these kinds of policies are important for fathers, but they're also important for mothers and children. There are other areas in criminal justice. Wisconsin is one of only five states that doesn't do expungement or sealing or set aside of criminal records. And we know from research that when criminal records are sealed, it's associated with improved employment outcomes and lower rates of recidivism.
Thank you. I just want to pause there. Thank you so much for sharing these three really key examples in different areas. I want to bring in a caller now, Mike in Princeton, to share a story. Mike, go ahead.
Good morning. As a single father in Wisconsin of three teenagers and going through the court systems many years ago, I think one of the things that was missing was really focusing on the importance of fathers being able to spend time with their children. And it doesn't necessarily mean the father has to be at some kind of an event, but just the presence of a father has such an impact, whether your child has a sporting event, you're taking them fishing or for a walk in the woods, or you're just sitting with them, talking with them, trying to pass on maybe some wisdom that you've learned. I was raised in a family with nine kids with a traditional mother and father. And, the experiences that I have, I want to pass on to my children. But if I'm spending time at two or three jobs trying to make my child support payments, it takes away from it. And one thing that I would suggest is really for the courts and the legal system and government to try to see it as a primacy of spending time with the children as opposed to the financial aspect. I think the financial aspect obviously is important, but I don't think there's enough importance given to fathers just being there.
Mike, thank you so much for sharing your story. I want both of you, Margaret and Jessica, to respond. Margaret, you first.
Yeah, I was smiling during that caller because I think that just really is exactly what we found in this report, that it's not just about finances, but it's also just spending time. When I talked about active involvement, it's really just spending quality time with their kids, and that is really important. And I think what Jessica said about minimum wage is one of the issues that we're facing. Those things intersect where dads are having to work so many hours in order to make those payments and then not be able to, you know, at the expense of time with our kids. So I definitely, that resonates with everything that we saw in our report.
Jessica Pearson, working two to three jobs to make those child support payments, what comes up there?
Well, you know, the difficulty here is that with many, many families, there's just not enough money that either mothers or fathers have to raise children in today's world, with costs being what they are. And so every state has a guideline or a formula that tries to take into account mothers' resources and fathers' resources and actual income, and do some transfer of funds from the parent who doesn't live with the children most of the time to the parent who does, because there are so many costs, rent and utilities and all the things we know go on. And Wisconsin does have policies that try to make this more equitable, but there are, we know that there's pain and all around in the child support arena. Wisconsin has programs to help non-resident fathers with finding employment and helping to pay their child support. There's more that Wisconsin could do in the child support arena. It charges interest on unpaid child support of 6%, and that increases debt. And we know that that is detrimental to child well-being and father well-being and strains relationships in families. Other states, 24 states, do not charge interest, or they do not collect the interest if it's on the books. So there's room for improvement, but it's a very difficult area because there just really aren't enough resources to go around to keep families fed and housed when they live apart. We know it's hard for two-parent households to make it financially. So that's a very tough area.
Tough area of keeping families whole. Yes. Looking at issues facing fatherhood in Wisconsin with Jessica Pearson there and Margaret Kerr. Jessica is director of the National Fatherhood Research and Practice Network. Margaret is lead researcher on a report learning the needs of fathers throughout Wisconsin. You can join in with your questions, your experiences. The number to call is 800-642-1234. I want to turn to some solutions, Jessica, because your report describes America's child support system as, you know, belied with serious issues, ineffective and expensive enforcement techniques that generate debt, as you mentioned, on fathers that accrued interest. What should be done to change how child support functions in the U.S.?
Well, child support does collect a lot of money. Let's not forget that. And it has a track record of lifting families, children, and custodial parents out of poverty, particularly very low-income families. But we have one thing. There are a couple of steps that I think could be would be helpful. At this point, the state retains child support collections for people who are on public assistance. And Pat in Wisconsin, it passes $75 of those collections back to families. We shouldn't be retaining collections that parents make if their families are on public assistance. All that money should be passed back to families. And this is a hangover from the original foundation of the program when the child support program was used to repay the state for public assistance. It's called pass-through, and we should be passing through funds to families. My state, Colorado, does that. So that's one thing that can be done. I think also we don't allow child support program per federal law to really address parenting time and to help parents with getting parenting time agreements. It's not an allowable activity, and I think it should be an allowable activity. States have some resources through an access and visitation grant program to help with mediation in these cases, but it's not enough. And so I think the federal law should be, programs should be changed so that parenting time becomes an allowable activity along with the establishment of child support so that time with children is addressed routinely when child support orders are established. Those are just two ways. We should be doing more to help with employment and programs and wiping away debt that was established during incarceration, during periods of unemployment, during periods of disability, because those debts stay on the books and they build up bigger and bigger arrearages that become very, very hard to pay and are very discouraging to fathers and lead to a lot of conflict between parents and just demoralizing and ineffective. So wipe away debt when it can't be paid. This is debt that's owed to the state. Those are the arrears that are building and mounting all over the country, not just in Wisconsin.
Jessica, just pause here. Jessica Pearson directs the National Fatherhood Research and Practice Network. Margaret Kerr, a UW-Madison assistant professor studying emotional experiences in the context of parenthood. Still time to talk about all this. Call with a question, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore positive father-child involvement that leads to better outcomes for families, how to improve men's well-being in fatherhood. Share what you think. Call in with the question, 800-642-1234. We have Margaret Kerr in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies at UW-Madison, and Jessica Pearson, who leads the National Fatherhood Research and Practice Network. We heard from Vernon Boyd, who called in to say that a father can lose their job and then they have to go to court to get their child support reduced, which is really complicated and takes time, Vern says. And that happened to Vern's son and says it took him forever to get caught up. Margaret, I wonder, as you talk to fathers, your team surveyed fathers about maintaining child support payments, what do fathers often fail to understand about child support?
Yeah, I think there is just the systems are really complicated. I think we got a sense of that from listening to Jessica talk about the policies in different states, but they're just complicated. They vary by county. The rules are not transparent, and it can be hard for fathers to just figure out how to navigate it, or to know under what circumstances can they get those things renegotiated, how to fill out the paperwork, where to get the paper. I mean, it's just, they're very complicated. And so that's one of our steps forward, actually, is to work on these peer groups that I talked about earlier, but around how to help fathers navigate those systems so that they can get what they need to the best of their ability.
Are there any type of system navigators, people helping beyond like an attorney or someone, but someone in the system helping them with their case and keeping in touch with them and figuring out next steps?
I mean, there are programs, and Jessica mentioned this briefly. So there are some programs that they vary by county. I think there are a few state level ones that fathers can do, and some that they have to do to help them find employment and things like that when they enter the child support system. But it's just not all clear. I think one of the examples is in some places, if you are incarcerated in jail, your child support does not automatically go on hold. But you can request for it to go on hold. And so I think that's an example of things that like fathers just probably don't know. And there's not anyone telling them in that circumstance is like, hey, did you know you could do this? And so it just kind of falls through the cracks, those kind of things that they actually can do to make it more manageable for them.
I want to make sure we have space for substance use treatment programs. And Margaret, you recommended that supporting drug treatment programs can help fathers better understand addiction. What can these treatment programs offer that some fathers are missing now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I am not an expert in substance abuse and treatment, but I just know that addiction came up quite a few times in both our interviews with like community providers, as well as with our actual fathers, and just the need to resolve their own addiction issues in order to be present for their kids, because it impedes their ability to build relationship with with their kids, both emotionally, but also because of the kind of repercussions of addiction. And so programs, if they can get access to one, can help them, appropriate treatment can help solve that so that they can show up and be present for their kids.
Jessica, what are your insights there? What attention should be paid to fatherhood and parenting in such treatment programs? I mean, how do you incorporate a parenting component into treatment?
Well, that I think this is an area that really needs a lot more resources nationally and attention. But I think there's more promising research that shows that fatherhood and appealing to the father role can aid in the treatment of all kinds of mental health and substance abuse issues, and that so that fatherhood can and the father role can be a motivator, and it should be incorporated into treatment programs. But we do need more treatment. And one thing, you know, Wisconsin has not adopted Medicaid expansion, and potentially there's some treatment resources available through Medicaid. Again, I'm not sure what's available, but it's one of 10 states that have not done this and should be done, so that fathers as well as mothers and children can have access, maximum access for health care and treatment of all types.
Jessica, what did you find in the area of programs that help low-income fathers in particular be close to their infant or their very young child? What can you say there?
Well, actually, there are Wisconsin does have a breastfeeding program, or fathers that are involved with help working with moms to promote breastfeeding. They're also involved with the WIC program. There's a WIC initiative that's targeted at fathers in Wisconsin. Programs dealing with home visiting should be more accessible and should be more inclusive of fathers. That's one area that hasn't been really developed. And part of it is, federal money for the McVeigh home visiting program does not really track father engagement. I think if that was a required element of those programs and it was tracked, there would be more attention to father involvement. And one thing that the authors of your great needs assessment mentioned
very quickly
was hiring more fathers in to work with other fathers with young children and infants.
Thank you both for joining us. Jessica Pearson there, director of the National Fatherhood Research and Practice Network. Margaret Kerr, assistant professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies at UW-Madison. Find a link to the Wisconsin Statewide Fatherhood Needs Assessment at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.